Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What is going on, everybody? It is episode 122 of Pop Culture Crisis. My name is Brett. I'm here with my co-host. Please introduce yourself.
My name's Mary. Hi.
We are off to a fantastic start.
I had to let that one out. I'm sorry.
That was, some might even think that was planned. That was so perfectly done.
It wasn't.
Everyone will now just X off. They're like, I'm not listening to you people.
Organic material here.
They're like, I'm not going to listen to these people cough in my ear. I'm out of here. We're done today. And by the way, we have a guest host today who's not going to cough in your ear. Please introduce yourself, please.
I was about to, but
maybe
I won't
just do it.
Yeah. No, I'm Shane Cashman, and I am the author and host of Tales from the Inverted World.
How you doing today?
Pretty good.
Pretty good? How's the new book coming along?
I have been stuffed in a dark closet since October, and I'm slowly emerging. So it means it's going really well.
That's actually a good sign. Yeah, that means the work is coming in.
It's going well, and our editor is getting 20 pages a week from me right now, and I'm sorry to all the writers in the newsroom.
No, it's a favor, if anything, paying less attention to all of my weird grammatical mistakes.
Good. Well, then you're welcome.
But today we're gonna steal you away, and we're gonna borrow you for some general, less ghost heavy entertainment.
Well, we dabble.
This first topic actually could have been something
harrowing
from Tales from the Inverted World.
I'm taking notes.
We got a bunch of stuff to talk about today. So we are going to talk about a new docuseries that's coming out about Armie Hammer. And I think there's a bait and switch in here a little bit. And we will get into that once we start talking about it. Then we have Katy Perry is getting the heck out of California because my guess is that she's somewhat smart, which is the smart thing to do. Maybe. Would be to get the heck out of California. Then we are also going to go into somebody brought it up to me yesterday off air about the framing of basically Amber Heard and Johnny Depp and how the fans are being perceived by people. And earlier today I was talking to Mary about it, and she echoed kind of exactly what was going on in my brain when we discussed it.
I put words to what was going on
in
your mind.
In a way that yesterday
it's
I wasn't
a good co-host.
Yes. that yesterday I wasn't really able to kind of put it to sentence. And so we're going to talk about that today. We got Podluck. We got a bunch of stuff. So if you guys are ready, are we ready? Should we just get started?
We're ready.
Are you ready?
More often.
Yes. So ready.
Ready? Okay. Yeah. All right. So basically it says Armie Hammer is alleged cannibal. Armie Hammer takes center stage in new TV project. And I do think that there's a bait and switch here because the name of the project is House of Hammer. And I started looking into his family, and it's actually really, really fascinating. Like his dad, his granddad, his great granddad, and we'll talk about that. But it says, to get started, it says, remember when Armie Hammer was so wholesome he could play the Lone Ranger and no one batted an eye? That feels like a lifetime ago that you could get away with that. Wasn't Johnny Depp in that as well?
Yes.
Go figure there. It says, today, Armie Hammer's reputation has fallen so far that he's joined the ranks of Ted Bundy and Charlie Manson as the subject of a true crime special coming from ID and Discovery. That is bull, right? Like,
not even close.
Did you see the framing?
This is the caliber of menaces to society that we have now. It's pathetic.
To compare him to Ted Bundy.
I know.
I mean, Charles Manson's another thing.
A legend.
Ted Bundy?
A legend in the serial killing world.
We're trying to say safe, but like what he did in Florida. Go look it up. It's insane that they're going to compare this guy to that.
Yeah. So like right off the bat, I'm like, really? Just like Charlie Manson? That's fantastic. I don't buy it. So basically it says ID and Discovery Plus have announced a new docudrama titled House of Hammer to be currently in production. The TV special will not only document Hammer's personal scandal. That's what I believe is the hook for this, because Cannibal on the headline is very splashy and it makes a lot of sense. You know, it gets eyes on things. Let me pick up where we left at. But it also promises to delve into five generations of his famous family's history using archival material and interviews with survivors. Note that word there. Survivors.
Yes, this is confirmation of vampires,
and,
by the way.
So survivors and family members. Like, I don't know what family member is going to speak ill of them unless they're, like, actually, like,
they're survivors.
On the outs. They must be the survivors. House of Hammer will explore what a press release described as dysfunctional dynasty with its male characters exhibiting all the devastating consequences of privilege gone wrong. It's the most 2022 thing I have ever heard. Basically, I'm guessing that they married women, and all those women are completely innocent. They did nothing wrong. They knew nothing about anything that was going on. But
they knew the whole time and ignored
exactly
their gut feeling.
Which was the taste of human flesh.
And we will get to that. But what's really fascinating is, like, his family is, like, deep in it.
Is he kind of a nepotism child?
I mean, Hollywood is kind of breeding ground for nepotism because it's not what you... First of all, when art is subjective, it's very easy to, like... You can give them the role and maybe they do good, maybe they do bad, but you can't really know for sure if somebody would have done better unless it's really, really awful. So nepotism is bred into that kind of world. Yep. There's plenty of actors who come from famous stock that are also Emilio Estevez is a really good actor.
True, yeah.
Charlie Sheen was a really good actor at certain things.
Angelina Jolie.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a good one. So it says, Army scandal stems from a string of allegations against the actor made by a number of women, which have included screenshots he made from a secret Instagram account. In those screenshots, Army allegedly discussed, can we say those words on, I don't know if we can actually say that word.
R word fantasies
and cannibalistic urges with other women in a number of private messages. One of his former girlfriends, fashion app founder Courtney, I think that's Vusakovic. Given that I am Polish and Czech, I should know this, but I don't. You know, I'm Americanized. What can I
Shame.
Say? Vukakovic or Vusakovic, one of the two. If I'm wrong, you can go ahead and leave a chat about how wrong I am. That's fine.
Condemns
went public with allegations that Hammer would repeatedly talk about wanting to eat small pieces of her flesh. Quote, he said to me he wants to break my rib and barbecue and eat it, she told Page Six.
I don't know if a rib is a small piece.
I mean,
interesting. True. We noted that he wanted to barbecue it first.
Yeah. See, his next gig should be a cookbook. That's what he really should do. He should make a cookbook. That's like that, or he should star in Cannibal Holocaust Part 2. The sequel.
That would be like him doing the O.J. Simpson If I Did It.
Yeah. Like his own. Well, didn't Bill Gates write a book about like how to stop the.
Right.
I never know what we can say on here without getting in trouble.
I like it. This is like a high wire act.
Without your tech overlords like kicking you out and telling you to get out of here.
Please don't. So
it says an unidentified woman has also come forward claiming that Armie Hammer R-word and abused her during a 4-year relationship. The attack allegedly took place in Los Angeles in April of 2017, during which the woman, who is only known as Effie, interestingly enough, if I remember correctly, the Instagram account was called House of Effie, which is kind of like the name of the documentary, which of House of Hammer. He should wear hammer pants in all the clips. That's what he should be doing. dad jokes. Claims she was R-word and beaten by the now 35-year-old actor over the course of a 4-hour period. That is a long time. And you mentioned something really interesting to me earlier, which is that you don't remember, like, all of these stories come out and it all starts to run together and blend together.
It felt like a still kind of one of those COVID things that we were all talking about the same thing at once.
Yeah.
And this happened to be it that week or that month.
Yep.
And I literally don't remember these allegations at all. I remember solely these screenshots of the like weird text messages and us laughing about like how absurd it is.
Like he's weird.
Yeah.
And how it's like embarrassing for him or whatever. I had no knowledge of any serious allegations like this.
Do you remember the cop from New York? I think it was in New York who got in trouble for something similar?
No.
His wife, I believe, found like literature about him, like a fantasy he had about cooking her. I don't know what happened with him.
He should have just said it was a creative writing class.
I'm saying. Like if they looked at what I Google,
I was at the writing. I was at the annex, and I took a creative writing class, and they said talk about something that really gets you going.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm going to write a whole book about cannibals. I just love the way
totally
they
normal. Totally like hey, what's the story? It's like don't kink shame Armie Hammer because he wants to cook a chick's rib. That's his
it's
own
crazy
business.
Right. Because that was actually part of the discourse back when this was popping off was like you guys are really vanilla if you think that like Armie Hammer is weird for talking about cooking and eating his girlfriends That was literally part of the discourse at the time. Unbelievably,
I had a roommate who wanted to cut her own hand off. Yeah, like, that was like she was into that.
That's
kind of
a
stuff.
Thing.
So
yeah.
She should probably find Army. I don't know where she is now.
That's a match
you're out there,
right?
I know a cannibal for you.
But the thing is, I think that this will be just as much about his father and his grandfather, who are both. His dad ran an oil company. Like, his great grandfather started an oil company. So his great grandfather's an industrialist, an oil tycoon.
There'll be blood.
And then his dad. So Army's dad. So the great grandfather's son. So Army's dad took over the oil company, and they had like a famous art gallery that I guess like went belly up in 2011 because they got caught buying and selling like $80 million in like counterfeit art. Forged artwork.
Wow.
So, and then the great granddad, if I have this, I'm sorry, the grandfather, not the great grandfather, was known as, I have the quote here, it says, best known for his ties to Occidental Petroleum, the company of his late, this is Army Hammer's grandfather, Armand Hammer. And yes, they did have stake in the company, Armand Hammer.
Hilarious.
I was like, that can't not be true, right? So it says, was an American businessman and manager, business manager and owner, most closely associated with Occidental Petroleum, a company he ran from 57 until his death. He was called Lenin's chosen capitalist by the press, and was known for his art collection and close ties to the Soviet Union. So he was part of, he gave money illegally to Nixon's Watergate fund. And also, like, was part of, like, he was really deep into, like, the Republican Party.
Yeah.
So I think what the documentary will do, it uses the cannibalism as the hook, but becomes just like all the men in this family are toxically masculine and evil.
Yep. It's not that they're, like, toxically masculine, whatever you want to call it. They're literally just, like, corrupted
cannibals.
Yeah. I mean, whether they're cannibalizing society or or women.
Yeah.
They're cannibals.
That's good.
Thank you so much.
What was that?
Holy Shane's,
mackerel.
Shane's first
you guys
time.
Are,
yes.
I'm going to start pole dancing now. thank you.
Perfect.
Yeah.
No, you and Dane are both like really into
one
that.
Item at a time.
I told Dane to be better
first.
If he dropped pig's blood on you guys, and he said money was better.
So it says so his dad is still alive and turned Christian upon marrying his wife and the benefactor. So they're very much part of that industry. Like the grandfather was a Republican and all this stuff. And I really think that in these things, they love to crap on this type of stuff. I thought something that was really funny the other day. I was looking through Hulu, and there's a documentary about Ms. Maxwell, who went to jail recently next to
Ms.
Mr. I don't know if we're like literally. I don't know what am I allowed to
say.
Ghislaine Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell. Yeah.
Now you're in trouble.
So, yes. So her next to Epstein, and then it's a photo of like her and Epstein, and then Trump, and I think I don't know if it was Ivanka, but they're all in the same picture. And the name of the documentary was Partners in Crime, which is framing at its highest.
Crazy.
Like
he was in pictures with so many
everybody.
People.
Yeah.
Everybody.
He was in a picture with John Paul II.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like it's absolutely done on purpose to, you know, besmirch the name of that person. Mm-hmm. And this is how the media works. But that does not to say that this documentary couldn't actually be super fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
It does sound interesting, actually.
I just don't have any faith that they will be even handed in any of their like how they, you know, put the information forward.
Everyone's breezing by the word alleged.
Yes.
It says alleged. You don't know if he ate people.
My biggest problem
here. He didn't, though. Like, we know that he didn't.
Yeah.
Not yet. A bunch of the articles don't say alleged. Like, I had to put alleged in the thing that
really?
We're talking about today. But a lot of them just say Army Hammer, the cannibal. I'm like, what? Like, couldn't you at least write, like, a cannibal fetishist or something like that, which is maybe not quite as spicy?
It's too wordy,
but,
Brett.
Yes, I know. I'm long-winded.
It's not clickbait.
I can't help. Like that's the hardest.
But
part.
I agree.
Yeah. Like
I agree.
So it's like you guys like couldn't do him that little bit of
or
justice.
Yourselves the favor legally.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah. Right. When they get sued.
So it was. It was.
That's like the least interesting thing about it because like the story is that this guy is so wealthy and bored.
Right.
That this is the stuff that he thinks about. Like he has nothing to do. And then you start testing the limits of of your power over people and morality. What you can convince them is normal.
Yeah, right.
It's also hard to want to talk about this stuff because it's like when like you said earlier, you said like when this happened, you kind of just it all lumped together and you're like, this is crazy. And now you're hearing all these far more serious accusations, but they're still just accusations. And given the world being in the state that it is, I have a hard time taking anyone's word for something right off the bat. If you do not go to the cops, file a police report and attempt to have, you know, and I know that that's humiliating and I know that that's awful, but, you know, sometimes to get justice in a situation like that, like a form of like a Herculean effort needs to be made to bring that person to justice, or you're just passing the buck on to the next person that person attacks. And without that being seen, I don't know if I can in good conscience anymore just take someone's word for it, especially, and it's almost to their detriment, when the allegations start to be about cannibalism. I'm like, can you really take any of this seriously?
It's really bothering me because like cannibalism was not part of the allegation at all. It was literally just some like passing note. Oh yeah, and he like messaged me on Instagram stuff about wanting to barbecue my rib because he was bored and too shy to say it in person. Like, what a loser.
But this is what this is what the media does, though. They have to take something and sensationalize it to a point, you know, they make money off those clicks.
How shy can he be? Like, it's a good, like, he's a handsome dude. Like, that's funny that he's too shy to say something.
I mean, maybe not shy, but like, he's a weirdo.
So you're saying
like,
boredom and money breeds cannibalism?
I mean, yeah, I am kind of saying that.
Interesting.
I mean, we could like take that to other conversations, but like, let's not. I'm just saying it. If you're powerful and bored enough, then you will begin testing the limits of your power on the people who
maybe not
are the most vulnerable.
I wouldn't say always, but a certain type of person would have that inclination, I guess.
Did either of you watch The Following?
No.
The show The Following? Okay, in the show The Following, it was based on, it was Kevin Bacon and James Purefoy, and James Purefoy's character is a serial killer, and they phase him out. He's like, James Purefoy is an extremely charismatic actor, so people were not like fans of the fact that they were getting rid of him in season two, but it felt like the arc had kind of run its course. Where do you go with that?
Right.
And what they did is after the killer in season three, they hinted for the start of season four that there was going to be one. It was going to be like a society of rich people who get away with committing serial murder because they're rich. Like one of the actresses, like in the segment says, like, do you really think that that the psychopath gene skips it just is like immune to the rich? No, they just have the money and the power to get away with it.
Totally.
So it's like, and of course the show got canceled before that season got made. So it's like, and people said the same thing. Like there was a conspiracy as to why the X-Files got canceled both times.
And speaking of that, like a group of people doing bad things, and this will be my shameless plug for the last Inverted World book, which you can get at invertedworldbook.com.
Perfect. That was beautiful.
The last few chapters of that book are my investigation into the Long Island serial killer. And one of the conspiracy theories that came out of that was that there was a bunch of people working together, murdering all these people and leaving them in a certain place in Gilgo Beach. And I think there could possibly be truth to that.
You think there's some truth to that?
I think so.
Were those families of means, or was that just a small town?
I think a lot of them had a lot of money.
And that's it makes it easier.
I mean, the disgraced sheriff was
yeah,
involved.
We talked about that. Yeah,
crazy.
So it's just one of those things where I think this could actually be a fascinating segment, a fascinating series. I don't know if it's going to be a series of episodes. Docuseries indicates that there would be more than one.
Probably, yeah.
So it would be very interesting to see where they go with this. But it's like with anything like this, I tend to be very hesitant to believe that they're going to actually make something that's even-handed because they're going to go for maximum sensationalism, as with all these articles.
Let's review it then. I mean, like, what I think is the moral of his story is just, like, the banality of sexual deviancy, I guess.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, especially the type that celebrities get into, or maybe he's just... I felt at the time, like, my take on it at the time was that he is such a boring person that he had to come up with some weird kink that is like a personality trait for him.
Right.
He's like, the Eyes Wide Shut parties just aren't doing it for me anymore.
Right. And you're looking at it as if he actually is that. Right. Like, because I still don't know if that's the route he took. But I can see what you're saying, that if he is someone who wants those things, I could see that's how he went down that path.
I don't think that it was like a genuine like thing that he was into. I think it was just like, I'm going to see like what women think when I say this. Yeah. Like, I don't know, like trying to shock people and feel like he's a lot more interesting of a person than he actually is, because he comes from a line of powerful people.
Dang.
Yep. So the consequences, well, he's feeling the consequences now. He was actually, it's really funny. He was in Death on the Nile, which was filmed before all of the controversy happened and got delayed because of COVID coming out. And he was in the initial trailer and he was heavily featured. He ends up, spoiler alert, like 15, 20 seconds ahead if you want to, don't want to hear about the end of Death on the Nile, but he ends up being the bad guy in that movie. And so he's heavily featured in the initial promotional material. Then COVID happens, everything gets delayed, all of this comes out, and suddenly he's like, it's like an ensemble cast, and he's like the last name listed, and they just leave him off everything. He's not on the poster anymore, he's not on any of that stuff. And then the Hollywood machine, being the kind of cynical industry that it is, here's this stuff, but they're like, well, we already invested all this money into making it, we're just going to try to hide him, and then and then put the movie out.
But when I say knee-jerk, I mean like, that's amazing. it just rained money in here. Is like, he's still a legend. Like, they try to get him out of everything. We still don't know the whole story. Like,
that's the world we live in now.
I know. It's
they're making the doc world. They're making the docuseries before there's even anything to prove
because
that happened.
That will shape the perception.
Yep.
Right. And it doesn't matter if 6 years from now when we're in court going over this, we will forget, you know, how we all felt now, because this is creating that reality.
It's kind of evil.
It is evil because they manipulate the narrative and
they
contort your
reality. I understand that, and I totally agree on principle that they twist things. But ultimately, I don't care about the reputation of Armie Hammer.
I don't either.
And he probably deserves whatever.
I don't either. But they get away with this with even ordinary people.
Totally, yeah.
You know, that's the problem. Yeah. And we have to extend the same courtesies to even, you know, schmucks like this.
He's the type of person that will survive, like, no matter what.
Right. Yeah, him and Amber Heard will have a great show in a few years.
Oh, that would be a good idea.
Thank you for making it rain money on me, whoever that was.
I don't think anyone saw that one because you were talking. Oh
sorry.
Mary, do you want to read Super Chats?
Sure. Caper2X said, so who will be our nominee for the Alfred the Republican Cannibal Packer Award and Memorial Dinner? There was a funny folk song about it.
That I have not heard, but that would if only we could play that on air. I've never heard that.
He also said, according to the judge, when he sentenced him to hang, there were 7 Democrats in the county and you ate 5. LOL. Waffle Sensei said, here's $5 to keep Dave employed.
Oh,
you're so kind.
Poor Dave.
This mofo got beef with me now. Dat boy is trying to start a war. He don't want these fingers typing at him. So true. Dave, where are you at in the chat, bro? Defend yourself.
That is just sad. I think he gave up. Probably tuck tail and run. He's out of here.
Yeah, Dave is running.
He's
crying.
He
says, I ain't scared of you, Waffles. I don't believe you. Super chat and prove it, Dave.
Yeah, Dave will have to do that. And then we can know for sure. But until then, who knows? All right. So it's now this is the story that Hannah Claire sent this to me yesterday, and it says Katy Perry ditches California for Kentucky, says that Hollywood is not America. You don't say. That's fascinating. Imagine my shock hearing somebody acknowledge something so very, very true. What's funny about this is we talk about bubbles a lot. We talk about people living in their own bubbles, and I think even we here tend to be, you're not immune to that. Confirmation bias is a thing. And like you have to be wary of like, if you're hearing too much of the same opinion. One of the great things about working with Mary is that we don't agree on almost anything. That's
almost on principle. I disagree with everything you say.
That's basically right. And she's an authoritarian. So
we won't get too far into that territory.
So it says, you have to be careful to acknowledge, like, and it seems like Katy Perry and a bunch of other actors probably probably more so for tax reasons, are understanding now that Hollywood is not America. So it says Katy Perry is the latest American to leave high tax California for a Republican-led state, and she couldn't be happier. I'm guessing she didn't care that it was a Republican-led state.
Yeah, I don't think she just found that out.
She cares that the tax what the tax laws are there. So it says during a recent interview on Chelsea Handler's Dear Chelsea podcast, the 37-year-old musical star described how happy she was to have ditched Hollywood for Kentucky, especially as a young mother. I'm finding a lot of stories lately about celebrities like discovering motherhood. I didn't put it on the list for today, but we talked about Rebel Wilson getting skinny, and that's a big thing that people talk about because you know, Jordan Peterson is a thing, and as you know, he does not want fatties.
Said, "LOL, no thank you."
No thank you. So Rebel Wilson lost a bunch of weight, and you know, at first she's like, she just didn't really acknowledge it. She's like, you know, it's like my body. When you make your career on being overweight, it kind of becomes who you are. But when she said when she lost the weight, basically she said that she did so because her doctor encouraged her to do so because she wants to be a mother. Mm-hmm. So I like the idea that they're at least pushing mother, like the values of motherhood and like wanting to become moms now in a way that's a little bit past due.
I mean, I think that the Kardashian Jenners are strangely pro motherhood, but anti fatherhood.
Yes.
Yeah. So I
half
mean,
of a, half a family.
Yeah, they're doing a little bit of the work, but I like
they
like
fathers, just a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the problem with that is also it's like it sets unreasonable expectations as to what a single mother can do. Like when you have all that financial backing and you have a family as deep as theirs and you can afford all the nannies in the world and you have all the resources in the world, you know, it's very easy to be boss.
It looks glamorous.
Yeah, it's easy to be a boss babe business owner when you got your business from your name.
Yeah.
Right. And you have a ton of babysitters.
But then when you're, you know, living middle income and you're a single mom, that's a whole other ballgame. Yep. But she's learning here. And I like the idea that, you know, one of the reasons I love doing this show is because I think people who live in the political space underestimate how important these people is irrelevant as we may find them, as stupid as we may find them. These people are indispensable to shaping public discourse because they have millions and millions of followers and fans. They shape culture. So to see ones with names moving towards a culture that you may respect, whether you respect their political opinions, if they can instill even one decent value, maybe that helps change the spectrum down the line. Mm-hmm. So when you try to dismiss what celebrities are to our culture, because they aren't, they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be revered for just for being famous.
Right.
But you have to understand that when they have values you don't agree with, those values are being signal boosted to a lot of other people, and you don't have any say in that. So you can't discount how important they are.
Isn't it, if they do go against the grain, that's more valuable.
Yes.
Yeah, isn't it politics is downstream from culture? Is that the quote?
That's what everyone says.
I think that was Andrew Breitbart.
That was a Breitbart quote.
People care more about the Kardashians than like who's the press secretary right now. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
So it's it says, I'm like living in Kentucky and I have for almost a month now. And that's quite an amazing experience because it reminds you that Hollywood is not America, Perry said, according to Fox News. The pop legend went on to discuss how leaving major urban areas helps celebrities better connect to everyday Americans. You need to remember that, Perry noted, because I think you can understand people better. She says, right. It's nice to get outside of what you know and be normal and your reality, Handler replied. I always hate reading the quotes because I can't read them very well. That's I apologize. It's not the same thing as when it's written.
Can you read it as Chelsea Handler?
I don't do a Chelsea Handler impression. Oh. So it says, yeah, I mean, they're living in a bubble of sorts. We're living in a bubble. Our bubbles are completely opposite, but they're interesting, Perry said. Handler went on to charge Perry with having grown up in a religious bubble, citing her family's Christian faith. I don't know if she remains.
Wait, can we talk about that real quick?
Sure.
She was Westboro Baptist type.
Really?
Like, no, she was Pentecostal.
She used to, like, I'm saying type. Like, they kind of would go out and, like, protest at, like, rock concerts and stuff.
Katy Perry, like, isn't that, like, the classic story of, like, the person who grows up in the sheltered home and has to go out and rebel because, because cool.
And it's real. You can see.
She's found America in Hollywood.
The stereotype is real.
But then, you know, it seems like we've talked a lot lately about how people are coming back around to faith because of there's a lot of postmodernism in the world today that makes the ground you're under you feel shaky and very malleable and makes it hard to know what's real, what isn't, you know, and outside of having strong beliefs and some type of moral compass, it can be very scary to see a world where, you know, every, you know, up is down, left is right, and all this stuff. So it feels like people are kind of maybe finding their way back to that. I don't know if I buy that that's the reason here. I think it's more likely that she's like, yeah, these people are nice and I like the lower taxes.
Yeah, I don't think her move had anything to do with like spiritual reasons. I think she just realized that what's important to her at this stage in her life as she's getting older is family.
That's a good thing.
It was, yeah, like, and it is a good thing. Definitely. But it was like funny to me that this article said she's a young mother because she literally had her first baby at 35.
So
is that what is considered a young mother now?
They're redefining young.
Yeah, no, that won't, you know. I just saw this from somebody, a friend of mine the other day, made a comment about how they like about like I'm not having kids with somebody like this, and I was like, and she's in her 30s, so she's not worried. Like she's got kids already, but she's like was talking about kids, and it's like she wasn't worried about like not being able to have more kids, but you know, it's a fact that it gets harder the older you get. And I don't know if what Katy Perry's story is as far as how she had kids, but it can be very difficult the older you get without I mean, in vitro costs a lot of money if it's not working the natural way, but she can afford it. But
now that
the
she's
average
saving all that money on taxes.
That's what Kourtney Kardashian has been talking about, is her like IVF journey. Like that's the story of all these celebrities who just wanted to have fun and, you know,
didn't
spend
the doctor
money.
Tell her that she actually couldn't, like physically, like it would like maybe even kill her if she had more children naturally?
Really?
I think I read that somewhere. Yeah.
Why would they say that?
I don't know.
Said that she, sure. if she had them naturally.
If she had them naturally.
But if she had them with IVF, she would be able to.
I'm not sure the whole thing.
That's
there was something
weird.
There was something
that sounds like you're trying to sell something,
maybe,
dude.
Maybe.
But if you want to have them safely, have them with this.
Yes. Here's my product.
A stork dropped him on her.
Says, Perry is not the only American to escape from major Democratic-led cities in recent years. In fact, more than half of the U.S. counties lost residents over the course of the decade, with almost all growth being represented in metropolitan areas. Yeah, people are getting the hell out of the city. Who the hell wouldn't? I had a list here of like a bunch of them. The first one that came to my mind was a recent one, which was Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne. We're like, we're moving back to London. The taxes here are insane. We're out of here. James Vanderbeek moved to Texas like last or in like 2020. Who was the other big ones? Obviously, Joe Rogan moved to Texas.
Kanye West has
Wyoming
property.
Post Malone's in Utah.
In Las Vegas or Utah?
I think he's in. I thought he was Utah.
Okay, somebody loved. He's a huge 2A guy. Post Malone is like
Malone's rad.
Yeah, so he's a very big 2A guy. Yeah. Somebody'd have to put in the chat whether that was Utah or Las Vegas. I thought it was Las Vegas, but I could be wrong. So Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively, but it was like Nicole Kidman, Keith Urban, and like Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani. So like the guys are probably like, let's get the hell out of the city and move out.
That's
of here.
What Orlando Bloom was telling Katy Perry, like, let's just leave.
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo should be forced to live in a big city because you get what you deserve. Yes. As they say. Yep. Sandra Bullock, New Orleans. Jeff Daniels moved like home to like Michigan and stuff like that. So it's like they're like, especially in an age now where like digital communication is so fast, you don't have to do all your meetings face to face. And if you have the means and the wealth, you can fly in and out. Like, imagine the money you spend on flights, you just use on flights and save on taxes wherever you're living.
Mm-hmm. And what Katie was saying was that she's staying in Kentucky, but she's still in her Las Vegas residency contract. So she's just going to be performing as like an alternate when needed in Las Vegas every once in a while. So it's not like she's just abandoning her career entirely. Yeah. But then again, that's also the reason she cited for not wanting to have another kid anytime soon.
Hmm. The Kyle Chandler one is interesting. If you haven't seen Friday Night Lights, the TV show or the movie, please go and watch that. Those are fantastic examples of entertainment from a bygone era here in America. It says raised as a good Southern boy, according to college pal Trent Bross, Friday Night Lights star Kyle Chandler prefers to keep his distance from Hollywood's narcissism. That seems to be the kind of escalating tension. Is like, they're like, look, they're vapid, they're self-centered, and the workhorse actors, the ones who are always working but maybe don't live in the spotlight, wouldn't want to be around that type of environment all the time.
It's a soul suck.
I wouldn't want to either if I lived there. It seems like it would be just kind of demoralizing to be around that type of, especially when you're young, it makes more sense because you're like hungry for, to gain traction. Yeah. But as you get older and you've built a base level of income and you're doing better, why wouldn't you want to get away and raise your family someplace you felt more comfortable
but
doing
it's,
so?
It's strange because it's been a long time since someone of Katy Perry's caliber has had that foundation to start a life somewhere else. It's been a long time since she has been like mega rich. So really what convinced her to move away is something else. It's something like, as she said, it's something primal in her monkey brain.
Yeah, well, it's like as much as they try to fight it, as much as they try to pretend like biology and evolution and all of these imperatives don't exist, they do exist. And the celebrities are like fighting it. They're like, no.
Yeah, and you know something interesting too? Her marriage with Russell Brand, I was looking into this earlier, ended partly because she felt he was pressuring her to have kids too soon.
That's another long term point where I was like, I mean, this comes up in like other topics that have been popular lately. Roe v. Wade, you know, it's like they talk about how they had to do that because they had to have their career first, and that just breaks my heart. Like when you see people choose that path over that. But for this, it's like, by the way, Russell Brand is like my favorite person to like listen to.
He also cited her commercial success and unwillingness to do activism. It was a reason for their divorce.
He said that.
Yeah.
I wonder what he means by that.
Probably something different than you would assume.
Yeah, like I'm a member, because remember, I have a slogan here, and it's like, it's not enough to just not be an activist. You should be actively anti-activist. We should make fun of them.
That
because
they probably meant something different in like 2011.
Yes. True. Armchair activism needs to kick rocks. So that's I don't see anybody in Hollywood, because that's like a stepping stone now. This is coming out like every actor that once their career hits like a peak and then starts to valley, they start to, it's like, and they're an activist for various organizations. And that's like I don't, it's almost like a sign that it's the end times for them, that their career
is
coming to an
end. It would be more accurate to just say they're a philanthropist for blank charities.
Yeah, that's the way I would, I mean, I would much rather, especially because like it's always for like the most generic of ideas. It's like, I'm a woman's rights activist. I'm a, like, we had the one the other day. It was like, we had a great time talking about the animal rights activist,
PETA,
the PETA guy. Cause I'm like, that's a throwback. Like, I like it.
I liked the vibe.
Let's get back to the people chaining themselves to trees to keep them from getting cut down and
that's
throwing
real activism right there.
Actually getting out of your house to do it is activism. Yeah. Armchair. So maybe I should amend my slogan. Say it's not enough to just not be an armchair activist. You have to be actively anti-armchair activist because it's dorky. And, though some say that memes can change the world, your hashtags and slogans are not changing the world. They're just making people annoyed at you.
Yeah.
So it's they go further down into like these five states that have had the largest population gains in the last few years, which is Utah, Montana, Arizona, South Carolina, and Idaho. Like, imagine being so disillusioned with Hollywood. You're like, I'm on my way to Idaho. Well, like, I am out of here.
Now they're just gonna ruin those states.
And that's the problem. They're gonna go there and they're gonna act the same, and then those will slowly turn. And
I hope not. But I think I haven't looked at these articles as closely, but did they mention COVID at all? Like, the geography of our country has changed multiple times because of a virus or people escaping a plague, you know?
Yeah.
And
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Yes.
And I think this is another one of those things. And maybe Katy Perry's situation was like, I need to get out of here because it's a dystopia under COVID policy.
I think James Vanderbeek said COVID was a big and Rogan did as well. Like, just the policies were so,
especially if you have kids.
Yeah, it was preventing them from being able to work. Mm-hmm. It was preventing in like Hollywood. The worst part about that was like Hollywood got all the exemptions.
Right.
And all the small businesses didn't. And that was infuriating.
Right. Like in Hollywood, LA where that lady had to shut down her restaurant.
Yep.
And right outside, craft services from like whatever film they were filming was able to be open. But she was
It's exactly the point that was being made in that movie we watched, The Bubble.
The Bubble.
Like, which that was the whole point, is that all the exemptions were being given to Hollywood to do their work.
Disgusting.
While everyone else was like having to abide by the rules.
Everyone hated that movie but me. I had a great time.
It was okay, but I mean, I liked the message, but it was like not very funny.
It was. I think it's because I it's like one of those people where Pedro Pascal is one of those people that I actually love his work, but can't stand him as like a. But that's the you have to learn how to separate art from artist.
Wait, you can do that still?
Sometimes.
Wow.
what I found, this is a really interesting phenomenon. If it's like their older work, I can ignore it.
Yeah.
But if it's their newer work, which coincides with the time when they're saying this stuff, I have a harder time ignoring
it. So, Ezra Miller's band.
No.
Sons of an Illustrious Father. Let's talk about it.
No. He just makes bad music. So
I just think if the art is good, I really don't care who they are, what they say.
Most of I've been rewatching The Wire, and that's got Wendell Pierce in it. And Wendell Pierce is like, he made some comment about like just stupid stuff. And I expect like after Youngkin got after that, we're going political. We need to not go political. But the point is,
tell
like,
us more about this.
No, you have Youngkin? to be able to separate art from artist.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're liable to miss. Great work. Yes. What I found is like it's harder to ignore art from artists when it's the director and the writer because it's going to come out in their writing. The actor is portraying a role. Right. So the actor, he can be one thing on screen, and if he does his job well, be a completely different person behind the camera, you know, when the camera's off. But a writer, if they have certain sensibilities, it's going to come out in their writing most of the time, and that's a lot harder for me to ignore.
For sure.
I can't think of any great examples of that off the top of my head. But
everything.
The
past 5 years.
Everything.
Once but they don't get the attention. The writers and the directors don't get the attention.
Even in the new Batman, there are lines here and there where you see the narrative being
injected. Not a fan of... I said meh when we saw it, and I was like, yeah, it was good. And I watched it again, and I liked it less the second time.
I like him as Batman, I'll say that. I do like him as Batman.
Batman.
I like vampires, and he's like a little vampire, but... The writing of that movie was just atrocious.
He hates that movie so much that he's like taken a chance to like he's found a way to bring it up every time
Thank
we talk.
You. Thank
like,
you for noticing.
Even when we're not.
I'll
talking
be here every
it.
Thursday to talk about Batman. Everybody, if you hate that movie or you love that movie, let's get on.
Yeah, either come here to agree or come here to argue heavily.
Please.
So were there any super chats?
Yes, Waffles Sensei said, "Money printer go burr like the Federal Reserve." So true.
You'll see that this is all inflation right here. Yeah. This money's not going to be worth.
This is happening at the same time as like the national debt clock is going on forever in New York City.
Thanks for the gas money, y'all.
My original idea for this segment was like after each episode, we can tally up like all the like however much is there and talk about what we could get on it. But every time it's just beer money. Like you can't get any like because every episode as it gets worse. Like you just like and it's beer money and like the next day you make more money but somehow you can get less beer and that would
that
feels
like at
the
end of every segment this buys you less gas.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I'm starting to stack it up, so thank you. I have gas money now actually.
Utah here and can confirm they're taking over. Thank you, Hava Owens.
That's not good. Did anybody know if that was? Did anybody fact check me on Post Malone? I'm literally just hanging on to it.
I don't know.
I want to know.
But
now.
I will say real quick while I look it up is Post Malone's Nirvana set he did on YouTube during COVID was incredible.
I haven't heard it.
He kind of bothers me because he like performs like super drunk, like super super drunk.
I feel bad for him.
Where he's not even performing well.
You think like there have been a couple of concerts.
Or is it just an act?
Is it?
I don't
Why
know.
Would you pretend to be?
I don't know.
To be
there was actually a bunch of comedians in the past who had a whole act like that, and they were sober.
Dane Cook or not Dane Cook? Dane, Mitch Hedberg had to perform there was such a stark difference between Mitch Hedberg sober and Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, it's Utah. He has a fallout
it's
shelter
Utah.
In Utah.
Okay, so it was
wait. He has a fallout shelter in Utah.
Yeah.
Perfect. I like him even more now.
He's like building a compound.
More
there.
People have a fallout shelter than you think.
Oh, I have one.
So it's like Mitch Hedberg would be like really tense. Like I kind of channel my own Mitch Hedberg in a way, but I can't.
If you have to sit backwards, face the wall.
Yes.
To be Mitch.
Yeah. So like Mitch Hedberg kind of had this really stiff performance, but it was part of his act. Like it made the most sense to be like that.
And real quick, I know we don't have to go veer too far off, but you went to his wake, I believe.
Yes. Because I'm from that part of Minnesota. So we skipped school in high school and went to Mitch Hedberg's wake. That was a story I still can tell to this day. That's a wild one. All right, so Johnny Depp, this one's fascinating. Johnny Depp Let's get the other way. Amber Heard supporters bombarded with misogynistic hate from Johnny Depp fans. I had that thing in the way there. So we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and some people weren't fans of the fact that they think that people are going after Amber Heard, people who actually support Amber Heard, which is not the most. I think my favorite meme that I saw today that Lydia sent me, it says, which Amber Heard are you today? And it's 9 different faces of
Can
her.
Can you please send me that later?
That's funny. Yeah, so it's like, which Amber Heard are you today? And then I posted another one today. It's like Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow and Amber Heard in the back as Mira. And it says, Pirates of the Caribbean and the escape from the crazy bitch from Atlantis. Like it's absolutely
glorious.
I'm just
tired of seeing both of their faces. Touché. At this point.
Yep. Not a fan?
Not a fan of
the whole thing.
I mean, the memes are fine. It's just the whole thing is getting old.
It's
like
becoming farcical.
Yeah. It's going on too long. Let's just settle this thing now.
So it says, in a disturbing case of life imitating true crime, True Crime TV, Amber Heard supporters have alleged harassment and threats from Johnny Depp fans on social media. Oh, no. Since April, the embattled ex-couple, who have made headlines all the way back to 2016 during their initial split, has divided millions as a jury decides whether Heard, 36, and the defamed Depp, 58, when she signed a 2018 op-ed in the Washington Post, which appeared to accuse her former love of domestic abuse. An article that she did not write, if I remember correctly, and the ACLU lawyer basically wrote
Shout
it.
Shout out to the ghostwriter.
Yes, that's a good Joe Schmo 32.
Written by committee, yep. As you say you hate so much.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I hate movies written by committee. Hit piece news articles trashing your former husband. That's even worse.
Yeah, and it was billed as an op-ed, right?
Yeah.
It's not an op.
It's like the opposite of an op-ed. It's like somebody
She's
else's.
Running an
it's,
op.
Right.
It's a psyop-ed.
You beat me to it.
Now, with both sides having testified, although Heard's defense remains ongoing, rapt viewers are publicly throwing their support behind one or the other using the hashtags I stand with Johnny Depp or I stand with Amber Heard. And while one can't predict who will prevail in court, some believe it's Depp who's winning on the social media campaign. I really do believe that is the ultimate truth here, is that his career will rebound at least slightly because of the way the public
because it's all about attention, not money.
For him, it is, absolutely. Yeah. As tagged videos with Pirates of the Caribbean star are currently pulling in 12 billion views on TikTok alone. So really, the winner is whoever the hell owns the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, which I don't remember if that's Paramount, or maybe somebody can leave that in the comments. I don't remember who...
Disney.
It's Disney. What the hell am I talking about? Disney, sorry, guys.
Yeah, it is.
You call yourself a pop. Culture
a,
host.
That was a crisis.
Wait for the hate coming.
That was my own crisis right there, not remembering that. Yeah, because they're moving forward with that film, and they're going to do the Margot Robbie version because that's what people want.
That's exactly
I mean,
what I wanted.
She could play a different pirate queen, maybe. But if they make her like Jenny Depp, that would be a
Jenny Depp.
Jenny. Captain Jane Sparrow. That's what it'll be. It'll be Captain James.
Good.
God help us.
Great.
That vocal support also reared its impolite head as its hallowed legal halls of Fairfax, Virginia, where a gaggle of female fans have gathered for Depp. Reported Law and Crime's Jesse Weber's via Mediaite. So this makes me think of the weird chicks who go and like love serial killers and go like outside their trials.
That's what I wrote down in my notes.
Yeah, that's what it made me think about, the women who
I mean,
like,
it's a little less embarrassing for them.
Yes,
that
slightly less.
Right, unless he really is a crazy abuser.
Him and Armie Hammer can start a club.
Right
after this.
Yeah,
someone's gonna marry him.
Depp and Hammer. That's what it'll be called.
Perfect.
The vocal support. Okay,
I hate everything. It's
a majority women. Weber said when Heard was testifying, I overheard a lot of people snickering, making snide comments, and laughing. In fact, I observed one of the court officers telling them to quiet down to show respect to the witness on the stand. So it's like, this is very like, pardon me, but very female to me to be like,
so
they're like being mean to her because
disgusting.
They just like. And the other observation that you made today that I was thinking about yesterday.
Oh, and I've been dying to talk about it.
Yeah, do you want to go ahead? Because it literally mirrored exactly what I was thinking, but couldn't put into words.
I was like doing my laundry last night, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, this is it. So like, basically, men have so much pent up rage against women that they're not allowed to express.
Because
they're
the
not even allowed to express like a mild criticism that has nothing to do with whether or not you're a man or a woman, it's so socially unacceptable to criticize women now that, like, once this one woman who has been deemed acceptable to dunk on arises, they're just unleashing everything.
Because they can finally do it. Because they're not going to be given.
Yeah,
hit for
even
it.
Though it like doesn't totally make sense. Like, yes, she's probably crazy and a bad person.
I think she's genuinely narcissistic and
yes,
pretty evil.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, their opinions are just like they can do it now, so they're doing it. They don't actually care about the case.
Yeah. I don't think that many people actually do care about the case. It's more of like kind of an expression of like all our repressed weird assumptions about like gender dynamics now.
Have we seen like actual, like, I haven't seen actual posts of all the hate yet. Have you?
Oh, it's just bots with other bots.
So thank you. This is what I was saying.
It's just another bot campaign,
episodes ago,
obviously.
Like this is more evidence of the dead internet. And yeah. I feel like a lot of these bots, supposed misogynistic hate they're getting, is probably just algorithms that were pumped out by
Woman bots are getting misogynistic.
We've
got to
stop the woman bots.
Can you do the viewers a favor and explain to them what the dead internet theory is?
Basically, I might get a little bit wrong, but like, it's basically saying that the internet as we know it now is mostly run by bots and algorithms, and a lot of the interactions we have online are with fake spam accounts.
Yeah.
A lot of them, and I was thinking of Katy Perry actually, because I remember looking at one of her new songs like a while back on Twitter when she posted about it. Every comment was like fake. Clearly
really?
Fake, right? And I was like, oh, that's
how
weird.
Do you know they're clearly fake though?
It's all like copied and pasted, like the same thing, or it was like
same
phrase
just, like,
just reworded.
Love Harley's in Hawaii, love you Katy Perry.
It was oddly specific, like these were created by like a writer, you know, like it just seemed there was like thousands of them. They were very similar.
Well, and now, right now, Elon is dealing with talking to Twitter about fake bots.
Highly possible, yeah.
And the other one I want to point out is that when they were like found out that like when they did the Oscars this year, I think I mentioned this before, for like they did like the fan Oscar, and all the celebrities are like, oh my God, you're equating us to peons on the internet. And they got very mad that they did like a fan Oscar award, and Zack Snyder won for Army of Darkness because he couldn't win for Zack Snyder's Justice League. So they've a lot of people felt like, because Zack Snyder has a very, very rabid fan base of people,
right.
And they found out later that they think that a lot of those accounts were like done at odd times. There was a shenanigans with
right.
it when they're not going to change it.
Like, and I think clearly there's a lot of us who are alive. As far as I know, we're alive and we're on the internet.
I'm not sure, actually.
I know. We just live here. They turn us on.
I could be dead already. I have no idea.
But like the bots are an assault on reality.
Yes.
Because, and like what you said with Elon, he's buying Twitter based on what it's worth. And if there's fraud involved in terms of how they sell advertising based on these false like numbers they're getting and stats from like Katy Perry's things or Joe Biden having half fake followers, right? Like they just announced that a day or two ago.
Yep.
So nothing, I think, on the internet is as real as they claim.
When you think about the importance attached to that number on your follower count that a lot of people have, there is a lot of power there, an insane amount of power that comes from that. People get advertising deals. They get brand support products that, you know,
that's
all
a
through
whole career that you can buy from some like Chinese bot website. Like,
right.
sells you Instagram followers.
I imagine like the a larger company does its due diligence in like making sure like there's like one of my guilty pleasures on Instagram is like people who is like dancers, like actual dancers who do like street dancing.
Oh yeah.
It is a guilty pleasure.
I know
of mine.
They have the crazy effects.
Yeah.
Moves.
So it's like that's one of the things, and a lot of them have millions and millions of followers, and they get brand deals from shoe companies, and they get brand deals from Walmart and all this stuff. And that's like when you really think about what you can reach when Batwoman pulls in about 450,000 people watching an episode, and some dancer on TikTok has 12 million followers.
Right.
Where do you dump your money? You dump it into like, it costs a lot less to buy the person on TikTok than it does to spend $8 million an episode making these crappy subpar CW shows.
They're propping up like false idols through this.
Yeah.
And they're also propping up, they're sensationalizing hate, like what is going on here. I'm sure there's some people who are saying horrible things about both. But there's a link in here to the Insider article, which is trash, right? And like nothing I despise more is like a journalist who just surfs the dead internet, and they tweak it to make their sensationalized hate, you know, even worse. And like when they talk about in the article, we received as the Insider magazine writer, we received 8 reports from Depp people or people from Heard's camp who received hate. There's no link to that. There's no names or anything. There's no quotes. So it's like
this one says one woman told the outlet she'd blocked 13,000 threatening Twitter users. Her hands must just be dead right now.
Fake.
Twitter users since the
like
start.
5 block lists.
What are they like? They have block. They have blockchains.
Yeah.
I don't know if you use the same blockchain for that anymore, but block bots that help you delete. Yes. Like there's people that I used to be blocked by on Twitter just because of other people that I followed. So then other people would block that person, and anybody that followed them would be blocked.
Well,
anybody who follows Ethan Van Sciver is blocked by
that.
Like,
that's probably
half
how
the comic
she
book
like
industry.
Blocks 13,000 people. Yeah. But like, and if she did do that manually, you've got like way too much time on your hands.
Arthritis now.
Like I'm sure that a lot of this back and forth is dead internet, and it is just bots arguing with each other and threatening each other, which is hilarious kind of, but that doesn't mean it doesn't control the perceptions of real people.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of that being a factor, I do think that what we were saying, like that we found a woman that we can dunk on safely.
Right.
The
bots know how to tweak that. Like there's something there that exists, and I think they create bots to go make it worse. I also don't know if I agree fully on if it's like them going after her because it's just we're allowed to dunk on her now. It could also, it's probably that too, but it's also,
it's not really about her. It's like it's not, about the fact that you can't criticize anybody else.
And I saw it as like now they have an opportunity to like rag on someone who created a false story. But maybe that's just looking too deep and I'm projecting my own thoughts on these.
But that would be some kind of like noble pursuit. Like
right.
Lying is wrong. I mean, really, it's just a reaction. It's an overreaction to not being able to criticize other women's behavior.
Without being called sexist, misogynist.
Yeah, having it turned around on you.
Well, they have an in now, you're saying.
So it says, I stand with Amber Heard advocate Katie Diaz, who first voiced her support for the Aquaman alum on May 4th, claimed that she has since received hundreds of very disturbing and threatening messages from strangers hinting at a coordinated attack on women. Nobody probably ever used the phrase attack on women. Like that's unless they're saying that she said that, they're like, hey, let's
go. How is cyberbullying real?
Let's go have a coordinated attack on women. So it says, while hashtags are traditionally used to boost visibility for a particular cause, Depp's trolls have apparently co-opted the trend in a campaign to intimidate and undermine Heard supporters, according to Diaz and others who spoke to Insider. They suggested that men's rights they're bringing in the MRAs. They said that men's rights activists
what year is it again?
Are behind it all. It's a, like who you really are, mister, and they pull the mask back and it just says men's rights activists. But didn't the article just earlier say that it was women at the trial that were deriding Amber Heard?
That's strange.
So it says they suggested that men's rights activists are behind it all, possibly because they may believe that men can't be victims of domestic abuse.
Women can be men's rights activists. Right? Mm.
Here's a very good question.
Men be feminists?
Here's a very good question. If you are to never, ever trust a male feminist, which you should never, ever do, do you really trust a female rights
MRA.
Activist? It's kind
As
of like...
As a man, I would say yes.
So that's a very good question. Somebody will have to pose that to somebody far smarter than the three of us.
Let's take it to the streets, guys.
Do on the streets interviews about that. That'd be fantastic. And she says, none of us have said that men can't be victims, Diaz reassured. However, it is still vastly men who are the abusers, she added. While women are reportedly more often victimized by men, and then they point out here, it's like, that's because of the stigma of men reporting being abused, like you're looked down upon for doing so. And Amber Heard kind of proved that when she said, so this lady says that, and then she fails to realize that Amber Heard literally said, go ahead and tell people that you're a victim of domestic abuse and see who believes you.
Literally gang stalking.
Which
like,
is like,
no one's going to believe you.
So she, like, Amber, and that's not up for debate. That was on tape that was said. So this lady has no idea what she's, at the very least, is her brain should be in far greater conflict than it is with her values. And that's that is hilarious to me. It says all Amber's moves on the stand are being dissected, and the victim blaming going on right now means that if she cries, she's acting, and if she doesn't cry, then she wasn't abused, said Sarah, who withheld her surname in the interest of privacy. I mean, sure, I guess, but it's very clear that she is an abuser. So whether, you know, whatever your context is for the rest of that story, the accusations against Depp, the whether true or not, means that they're both, there is no one version of this where she is just the victim. She is either both a victim and an abuser, or she is just an abuser. We can't prove what happened to Depp. We know for sure that she's admitted to what happened to him on camera, and there are witnesses. So that is, I take problem with that intellectually. Was there any super chats there, Mary?
Yeah, we had, this isn't the wholesome future for Canadians, say, this money isn't me simping for Mary. We believe you.
I don't know if I believe you. I don't think I believe you.
As I saw her fanning herself with, yes, with the cash.
She was literally fanning herself with the money that you sent. That is what that was. All right. So I was. We're gonna skip the Elon Musk Amber Heard thing. That's just kind of irrelevant. We're gonna go to Podluck, which we still don't have a theme song for. We're just gonna have to make up our own. What if we just sang it on air rather than actually have an audio drop? Sing it on air.
I'll pass.
Okay, it was worth a try.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. We'll do that on the next one.
Okay. All right.
So Podluck, and do you wanna get started,
sure,
on this one?
This is a little obscure. I know that, like, I myself included, not many people are into K-pop. And if you're into K-pop, you're, like, really into K-pop.
There is no in-between.
There's no, like, you have to pick a camp. And I'm not really in the K-pop camp, but I just think it's interesting sometimes to see what's going on in their camp, because their celebrity culture is so, so drastically different from ours. And we were talking about this on another episode, how... the way that their celebrities function in their society is different. It's more to provide an idol or represent the ideals of their nation rather than the dysfunction. Hmm. Of
whereas
the nation.
We elevate ours dysfunction. Is,
like, yeah. Right.
And promiscuous behavior.
Yeah. It's like celebrating or just like outsourcing whatever's wrong with us and mm-hmm. looking at it in somebody else. But they have kind of the complete opposite culture. So I found that this K-pop star named Kim Garam recently has had allegations of bullying other girls in school thrown at her.
I love the idea that we live in a world now where you can, like, I imagine somebody coming, like, hitting me up tomorrow, like, we got this article coming about you tomorrow, and, like, you were a bully in middle
school.
So,
like, for context, this girl is a 16-year-old. Okay.
She is right now.
Yeah, right now. Okay. And this is about what she was, her behavior in middle school. From her middle school is leveling these allegations at her, because last month, back in April, she was introduced. She was like debuted in this new K-pop girl group called L.E. Seraphim. I'm not really sure like how you're supposed to say it. But The victim is going by a different name. It's you and how do you even
I don't
say
know
that?
How to pronounce
Yunseo?
It. That's, I do not. This is why I'm so glad you're reading this. I literally pawned off the hard
on purpose.
I'm like, you can read this one, Mary. Don't you want to feel more involved?
She even helped you with the Polish name.
I know.
Here he is.
Whatever her name is, her legal counsel also stated the results of the investigation spread online regarding her allegations were true and that Kim Garam had indeed bullied her. It says the victim, henceforth using the pseudonym UNCO, was a victim of school violence from Kim Garam and her friends from late April to early May 2018. So I assume this is when Kim was like 13,
yeah,
like 12, 13 years old.
When you're 12 or 13, your brain isn't fully developed till you're like 26. When you're 12, you're basically mush. Like, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to do stupid things.
Yeah, unless it was some like actually sociopathic behavior, which I did not see from this.
It doesn't say.
Well, everybody profiles as a sociopath under the age of 18 because your brain isn't fully developed, right?
The allegations are like mainly just verbal abuse.
She
like she would
her
get
and...
yeah, she would get like a group of students to get around someone and like curse at them and right. like
can you
verbally.
Call that school violence though?
That's what I was wondering
school
about.
School violence like, here in America is very violence? Different.
Like, do they have stricter laws on bullying? And also, the allegations included cyberbullying as well. Do they have, like, actual laws on bullying that are enforced on children? Like, that's crazy to me. So on June 4th, 2018, the School Violence Countermeasures Committee.
Which article are we in now? Are we in first one or second one?
The first one.
Okay.
It's koreaboo.com.
Okay.
It was held and Kim Garam, a student who had committed school violence, was punished with 6 hours of special education pursuant to Article 17.15 of the Act on the Prevention and Countermeasure of School Violence.
That is a very different, in America, that's a flak jacket and an armory.
This is even crazier. Wow. Her parents received 5 hours of special education in accordance with paragraph 9 of the same article. The victim of school violence received psychological counseling and advice in accordance with Article 16.11 of the same act.
Just for circling the girl and cursing, which is not nice, but does that warrant this insanity?
I don't know, because maybe like in their culture these things are of a greater like gravity to them.
Yeah,
that's what was interesting. That was the interesting angle about it for me.
There was also something that in the very first article that says, meanwhile, the school bullying controversy has continued even before the new girl group debuted. 5 days before Le Sserafim's debut, an anonymous netizen created an online community post claiming that member Kim Garam is actually a school bully. 5 days before the album comes out feels a little bit planned.
Sounds like
to
the
me.
Label did it.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, but they I don't think the label would do that over there because the culture is so different. That would be bad for the advertising, not good.
True.
I don't know.
If it's not the label, the moral authoritarians who are combing through celebrities' past
resurface tweets. They're
the real bullies. They're the real bullies.
Her management, Hybe, H-Y-B-E, said the recent allegations were cunningly edited to maliciously slander Kim Garam over the events that occurred during the time when she was making friends in the early stages of middle school.
And this is why I find laws like this, I don't care what culture it is, ludicrous, because they can do that. They can cut out anything to make it look like this person's a true villain, and then they fall victim to this crap.
Yep. I don't like it's just I can't imagine this
even
being,
if it's true, which let's say like it is. Let's say that's true.
She bullied people.
Like she was literally 12 years old and now she's currently still a child.
Right.
It's even weirder that she's like a trainee in their like celebrity class right now. Can we not talk about that? Like she's probably getting bullied by adults.
Right.
Does this taint her ability to be this person, to be the celebrity because of how the culture is there?
Totally. I think they expect their celebrities to be something totally different than what we expect of ours. Because they're expecting an idol who is like 100% flawless. Like they're trained to perform perfectly, they're media trained, and they're representing their nation a lot more than maybe an American pop star is responsible for representing the U.S.
Kind of like how our politicians were supposed to be.
Right.
Like your politicians are supposed to be scandal free, and the image of American, of American culture, and that has slowly evaporated over time. Mudslinging gives way to the way things are now, but it's just weird to think that like as our culture degrades so far that even the politicians are no longer fake, you know, because it was always fake. They were always dirty. It's just that it was the image was projected a certain way, and our celebrities were a lot more, I don't know if wholesome's the word, but I mean that's part of the media.
We like our celebrities like, you know, how Disney does it. When they're young, they're Hannah Montana, and then we turn them into twerking Miley Cyrus.
That becomes a marketplace.
Like,
we like
a fall from grace.
Yes, we do.
And they don't like that. That's not what they expect out of their celebrities.
I think that culture and our culture are too far in both sides, right? Like, we want them to be like this mess, this train wreck, and over here they want them to be perfect, and both those things shouldn't exist always like that in your celebrities.
I remember when Miley Cyrus like started going through her phase and she's like, I had to like break out of my, you know, I couldn't be that kid anymore. I had to grow up and be who I really am and not, and so that people couldn't see the fake me anymore. And I was like, it's not what people expect. I'm like, this is literally exactly what people expected. It's not like they didn't expect you to grow up, get married, have kids, settle down, continue making music while going to PTA meetings and doing charity work. They literally expect you to go through your raunchy your phase in which you're counterculture, which is of course not counterculture. It's the exact opposite. It's,
it's
exactly the culture.
Actually, just falling in line.
Yeah,
it's following orders.
Yeah, it's and that's even built into some like cultures. Like I was, it just made me think of like the Amish culture of Rumspringa. You know about that? Mm-hmm. Where like they're allowed to just go out and
that's live. It's crazy. Yeah.
So Miley Cyrus is on her Rumspringa.
Yeah.
That's how you say it. Sorry.
Cultural.
Our Amish friends are listening. Yeah. They wouldn't be.
I can't imagine. Yeah.
How would our former Amish friends out there listening.
How would they be listening? That would
be
good.
They're former Amish. Yeah.
Maybe they're secretly listening.
That would be cool.
Ooh, that's a cool image.
They make great furniture.
But you made a good point about the fall from grace thing because I think about this a lot. We used to love that in this culture, but now it's like we used to like fall from grace with the redemption arc. Mm-hmm. And I think we erased the redemption arc and now it's just the fall from grace.
Yeah.
And
just go away forever. And
that bothers me.
Don't be a person.
I love a good redemption story is one of those beautiful things ever told and you don't get it anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the oldest, one of the oldest stories.
Okay. I'm upset about this one a little bit. And that says that Deadpool's 3 script is underway. I don't know how they're actually going to do this given that it's Disney. As you guys know, Fox used to own Deadpool, the rights to Deadpool. Fox was bought by Disney, and so it's no longer there. And it bothers me because, like, we just had the story the other day where they're editing out blood and people may be looking kind of dead in episodes of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And they edited out Stan Lee cameos from Punisher episodes because of the ultra violence that's in the episode. They felt was wrong to show Stan Lee's cameo after that, or tribute after that. But they're going to do this character who literally, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever seen like the PG-13 version of Deadpool, but it's not very interesting, at least not to me. Yeah. So I don't know how they're going to do this because where will they end up putting it after it comes out? They're not going to be able to. I had this other article. They talk about like the new settings on Disney Plus, which they implemented because of the Marvel Netflix shows being migrated over to their service.
Right.
They did that so that the kids wouldn't accidentally watch Kingpin decapitate somebody with a car door. But they're editing out stuff anyways. They're editing stuff out of, you know, like mildly violent stuff is being edited out of stuff on Disney Plus, and then they're getting caught and saying, whoops, we put it back. Sorry, it was an accident. Like, there's no way you can do this and have it come out. Thank you for that. Come out true to form. So I have no interest in really
it's
seeing
gonna
where
go
this
right
goes.
To OnlyFans.
That would be Disney OnlyFans.
Yeah, I'm sure it's coming.
I know that Deadpool, the last I saw, was on Hulu. I don't know if it's on. I watch of all the streaming services. I watch Disney Plus the least. I have the least interest in Disney Plus, mainly for old stuff.
Right.
But I don't do that very often. But like I don't like it's on Freevee, like which is a subsidiary. Like you know, it's on these streaming services that you can get for free but have ads.
My eyes are glazing over because I don't have a TV.
Yes,
and I'm like, what are these words?
I know.
Saying?
I know. Yeah, but you have a
Do
phone.
Do you just watch stuff on your phone?
I don't watch stuff really. I just
at
don't
all.
Watch
wow.
Stuff. Yeah.
But he hates the Batman.
I went to the movie theater and saw the Batman,
and he hated
and that
it.
Movie. Was terrible.
He hated
Thank
it.
You for bringing it up again.
Yes. did either of you see the thing about Stan Lee? Like the 20-year contract being extended for Stan Lee through
the CGI
Disney?
Thing?
Oh yeah.
I don't know if it'll actually end up being CGI, which is very
Please
uncanny
no.
valley and creepy. Like I said, it
I don't
worked.
Want that.
It worked with Harold Ramis in Ghostbusters Afterlife because it was a Ghostbusters.
I
movie.
Cried.
Yeah.
I cried that last scene.
Well, they're not going to be able
that.
To
I'm
do
sorry.
That.
I cry a lot, though. But that movie, that scene got me.
So they're not going to be able to do that with Stan Lee. It's going to be like, it's fine if they want to put his likeness up in posters and stuff. That makes sense. But if they actually do the Uncanny Valley stuff, it's going to be creepy.
I think that kind of
thing.
Should
be illegal. I genuinely think that it should be
I don't know. I don't
agree
with that, but I like the sentiment because I think it cheapens death. Like all these CGI things where you bring back people, like when Kanye brought Kim's father back to life for that thing. Did you see that? The hologram.
Or Tupac hologram.
Or Tupac. Those really bother me.
The other one.
I think it should be illegal because it's stealing. It's stealing
life.
Somebody's
It's like reverse sacrifice.
Likeness. His likeness is owned by a company called POW Entertainment.
But that should be illegal. Yeah. You should not be able to buy someone.
You're a slave even in death.
I don't know if you would have seen it. It wasn't a movie, but it was like there was stuff that came out like when he was close to death. He was going through all of these problems with his management. He was getting ripped off for millions of dollars. They had him at like a Comic-Con, and he was like being propped up.
Weekend at
like
Bernie's.
He could barely keep his eyes open, and it was the most tragic thing I've ever seen. There was also, if I remember correctly, and I could be misremembering that, like they were having him sign comics with like blood, like where, you know, where they put the blood in the pen and signing comics, like all this stuff. Like he was being extremely, he was very clearly being taken. He was very clearly being taken advantage of at the end of his life, and seeing this go on is actually worse.
This episode has convinced me that Hollywood is all cannibals. And yes,
and the movie I was thinking about yesterday, the Robin Wright movie, was called The Congress, and it's a movie where she has a struggling career, and she sells her likeness to a studio who can then use her likeness for anything.
That's so literally the Black Mirror episode about Ashley Oh.
Yeah. Imagine Stan Lee, because you know, Stan Lee has even been called problematic by Disney standards, even though he was famously, he had Stan Lee's soapbox. He was, he had his own political views that he put into his stuff, but far more artfully than anybody manages to do now, God help us. Yep. But like, there's going to be a time when Disney's so progressive that Stan Lee wouldn't have been down with whatever they're doing, and they're going to use his image to push that message, and it's going to suck.
They'll put a white hood over his head.
Well,
sorry guys.
But like, that's part of free speech. That's compelled speech.
Yes.
If your likeness is being used to say something that you did not ever like consent to saying, oops, just dropped a bunch of money sacks. That's compelled speech.
Yes.
Like, that's not okay. How is that legal?
It's weird.
So I'm
because his like what do you call it? You know, his estate is okay with it, and the estate is now him.
Like, why did they just come into ownership of his entire personhood?
The Guardian reports
that's why. It's because of that.
So I'm going to read a little bit of this. It says the brain behind Marvel's most beloved superheroes co-founded POW Entertainment in 2001, but shortly before his death, he filed a $1 billion lawsuit against the company for fraud and conversion. The Guardian reports the lawsuit was filed after he accused POW Entertainment of licensing his name and likeness to Hong Kong-based company Kamsing International without his permission. This is so creepy. Like, and this is while he was still alive. So it says he stated that POW Entertainment CEO Shane Duffy and co-founder Gil Champion had presented him with a non-exclusive license for POW for him to sign under Kamsing International to use his likeness and other intellectual property. However, the contract turned out to be an exclusive agreement, which Lee said he would have never signed had he known. Hmm. He also claimed that the company made him sign the agreement as he cared for his terminally ill wife with his eyesight beginning to fail.
Damn.
This is the definition of elder abuse in using someone.
Yep.
However, POW Entertainment said that Lee's allegations were completely without merit, and the lawsuit was subsequently dropped months before his death. That doesn't mean there was no merit there. He was just dying and without merit, and the lawsuit was subsequently dropped months before his death, according to The Verge. After he dismissed the lawsuit, Lee said in a statement, "The whole thing has been confusing for everyone, including myself and the fans, but I am now happy to be surrounded by those who want the best for me." There was also a video of this. It's just, oh God, you guys have to go back and like, it's so creepy. He looked like he was constantly being like abused at the end of his life.
That's terrible.
And there was stuff like with his daughter and problems with his daughter. It felt like he really kind of like gave up in a little bit when his wife died because they'd been married for so long. Mm-hmm. It says after he continued, "I am thrilled to put the lawsuit behind me and get back to business with my friends and colleagues at POW and launch the next wave of amazing characters and stories." After appearing in 37 feature films, Hayward said to The Hollywood Reporter that audiences would love to see Lee on the silver screen again. Yeah, but would he want to be on the silver screen again?
We know that's he would love that, wouldn't you?
That's what you should be asking.
Sickos.
So it says the audience revered Stan, and it's done with taste and class and respectful of who he was. Using his likeness will be welcomed, he said. He was a beloved personality, and long after you and I are gone, he will remain the essence of Marvel. That does not mean you should be making new if you want to use him for posters and stuff, I guess. For characters that he created, I guess. But even then, you get into the idea of, like, was this a story that he wrote? Is this a story that he would have
written? They're Dr. Seussing him.
Yeah.
Because I have kids, I have books that I bought from my kids that are Dr. Seuss, but they weren't written by Dr. Seuss, and they are clearly not written by Dr. Seuss. It's a shame.
Like what?
I don't remember the titles, but, like, you could just tell, like, the estate said you can write as Dr. Seuss, and you see the other author's name on the cover, and it does, the language is just not as exciting as actual Dr. Seuss.
So it's not as well done.
Not nearly as well done.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, Ricky Gervais is, he's kind of like one, he's like a level or two above Piers Morgan, right? He's less of the, it feels like he actually was part of like the anti-cancel culture movement, kind of, not cancel culture, the product, which we have been harping on here, that it is definitely a product that they are selling you. But he didn't.
I don't like him. I don't like his
vibes. You don't like Ricky?
No.
Oh, wow.
Why not?
It's just like, what he's saying is correct. I just don't like that he's saying it. He's just a smarmy British man.
Has Chris Carden been talking to her about British
people? I hated British people before I got here. Okay?
She doesn't actually hate British people, ladies and gentlemen. She doesn't.
We just had a British listener about to send money until that.
Yeah, he's like, zoink, not
forget it.
Unsubbed.
No pounds. No pounds for you guys.
No pence. No quids. Nothing.
When he asked if he would change his jokes during his work hiatus due to COVID-19, Gervais said, "It's always evolving. There was a thought, will this be out of date? And then I realized that when you're dealing with, you know, famine, AIDS, cancer, Hitler, those dudes are evergreen. So you're not, they're not going to, they're not going to, they don't date." So he's saying that if you have actual like balls, you can make jokes about that stuff, and it's always funny. But most people don't, because
it's not always funny.
It always has the potential to be funny.
Yeah,
it's it always has.
When Ricky Gervais does it, it's not funny.
Hitler, right? Am I right, guys? The audience laughed, reeling at his comment as Colbert replied, "There is no audience that isn't going to love that." And he joked, so it says,
"You'll find them."
Yeah, it says, "I deal with taboo subjects because I want to take the audience to a place it hasn't been before." I mean, he's not taking him to a place they haven't been before. He's taking him to a place they haven't been since like 2012, when you were allowed to actually tell this stuff and not have a bunch of weird blue-haired people yelling at you. Now you just have to have slightly more courage to do this,
which they don't have.
They don't,
because they are in the entertainment class, and they're deeply insecure people.
Ryan Long has that courage, and he has a decent sense of humor. There's a couple of others, but in general, comedy is very lackluster now.
Mark Norman does it.
Who?
Mark Norman.
I don't know him.
Louis C.K. is still doing it. Chappelle, clearly.
Chappelle. Louis C.K. always comes up, but always in the context of like he jerked off in front of me, and that
again,
was bad
in front of
weird,
the door.
Weird, but his comedy is still good. His last special was incredible.
That apparently
separating
ended up
art from the artist.
That apparently ended up being false. That he did not stand in front of the door.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are,
never mind. Don't sue us.
He actually ate them.
Oh, okay.
He ate them and then sued him for
$50 million. Goodness.
Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer and Louis C.K. will form their own version of the Justice League. And it will be their version of the Injustice League.
I like this.
It'll be very bad.
Watch this.
He added, "Humor gets us over bad stuff. That's why I laugh about terrifying and bad things." You kind of have to be able to laugh about awful stuff if you're going to get through life. A lot of people who I've noticed, the people who can't tend to look like they age faster. When you take everything that seriously all the time, and nothing can be humorous, like a lot of times when bad stuff happens to me, I have to be able to find the humor in it, because it's like, you know, like history of substance abuse, your own problems in your life, you have to be able to laugh at at yourself, and I can do that most of the time, but if you can't do it even at jokes on other people's behalf, you're going to, like, if you have to be offended on other people's behalf, your life is going to be very long and arduous, and it's just I can't imagine wanting to live
You skipped over my favorite quote, and it's "I think people get offended," he said, "when they mistake the subject of the joke for the actual target," right? Like, that's so many things. Like, I know so many people who they're like, "I'll never listen to so-and-so," because they might have heard them say a certain word or a certain phrase, but it's only out of context, because they just don't want to hear that. You know, they're reviled by it.
But that's the polarization causes people to do that, because they stop checking out, they stop looking for things from other sources, they stop taking in information from people they may, you may disagree with 80% of someone, but that 20% you do agree with might help you go down avenues you hadn't explored before, and comedy is a good way to do that, I think, because if you can get over the polarization and getting offended, you can broach really difficult subjects in a way mm-hmm. that allows you to, I don't know if feeling safe is the word, but
it's not safe. It's supposed to like catch you off guard
yeah.
and understand yourself a little better.
Yes.
It's, you know? It kind of shocks the truth into you mm-hmm. in right. a way.
That's why I'm like so anti-censorship, because if I can't hear the things that might offend me or go against the way I think, I'm not going to be able to either change the way I think about it or build my own thoughts immune system to make yeah. my argument better.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Mary, were there any super chats there?
We got a couple. Slice of Lime says, I have just one question. Would you have Johnny Depp's waffles or Amber Heard's pancakes? Choose wisely. Old Knight from Last Crusade.
As long as she didn't make them in a bed, maybe Amber Heard's pancakes. I don't
be
know.
Be careful.
If, I don't
that's
know.
That's not
if,
Nutella.
I don't know. Depp's might be fun because the powder might be interesting on top.
There's so many choices. I'm going to go with Johnny Depp's. Was it his
Johnny Depp's waffles?
Just to be safe, I'm gonna all go. Right. I'm gonna go there.
We just got done talking about substance abuse, dude. Come on.
But maybe French toast.
Yeah, can we compromise?
I'm choosing
Cara Delevingne's.
You're
French
okay with
toast.
French toast, but not British people. I think yeah. this goes crazy.
Waffles Sensei says the answer is always waffles.
Clearly, that is clearly true. Waffles. Yeah. Waffles Sensei is right.
Shout out to Waffle House.
Yes.
Shout out.
That would be his name. If he got to, we had a discussion the other day about how you like, if you like your nickname, it never sticks. Like it only sticks when you don't want that nickname.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody says something, gives you a nickname that you really like, you have to be like, oh man, I don't want to be called that. That's what you do.
Good to know.
Also, life this lesson. Guy named Dave was in the chat earlier and he named another breakfast food. He said Brett is a spicy little frittata. He's a spicy Latinx frittata.
That's his new nickname. Perfect.
My new favorite conspiracy theory is that I'm somehow of
Latinx heritage.
Yes, that seems to be a thing.
If it's
I don't
in the
know.
YouTube comments, it's true, I think.
It must be true. Yep. I don't know who started that, but they're my favorite person. I do tan fairly well in the summer, but otherwise I don't think I'd pass.
To see that.
Yes, I don't think
I'd pass. We're going to take a blood test on air.
I am not doing none of that Ancestry.com stuff. That is a scam right there.
No, that's how they clone you.
That's data collection right there.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, guys. Shane, thank you so much for coming today,
thank
man.
Thank you, guys. I love it here.
Tell everyone where they can find you and updates on the book.
I am Shane Cashman on all those ungodly websites, and you can find Tales from the Inverted World on YouTube, Spotify, all those other things. And shout out to timcast.com, where Mary writes awesome articles where Brett and I learned how to start doing this in this very room with the members only podcast for Inverted World. Shout out to that money.
Yes.
And you can go check out those podcasts that Brett and I filmed in this room like last winter, which I'm very proud of. And I thank you to Brett for doing all those. Yeah. And we have a new book coming out this summer and podcasts and all that good stuff.
Very excited about the new book.
Yeah.
That is very cool. And billboards, right?
Really? I just took pictures of my big dumb face downstairs. Yeah, it was terrible.
It's going to be incredible.
I'm excited.
It's going to be incredible. Yeah. Mary, where can they find you? Oh, but actually read that super chat before we go.
Yeah. Taryn Jones said, we need comedy to keep us from getting too comfortable, but also to bring us together. We can all laugh about the human condition that is universal. So true.
Word.
That's very, like, to
I
me,
like that.
One of the things about it is like, humor used to be a universal concept for everyone, and I don't know if that's come to the part where, like, you used to laugh with people you were around. You made jokes with people that you were around, so you already had things in common, right? So the jokes that you made were in the company of people that you knew the sensibilities of, so you could kind of gauge what they believed, how far you could go.
Is that how it works?
Now
I used to just
the
make
only
bad
company
jokes.
You have is yourself. It's your laughing to yourself like a psychopath.
No,
that's what I do.
To me, what it is now when you tell these jokes, you're telling them to a larger audience. Mm-hmm. So they had a discussion the other day about like the idea of shared history and shared experience. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that it's that there's no shared experience anymore. It's that everybody is now so closely connected because of the internet that what you valued at 12 years old isn't necessarily going to be something that somebody else that responds to you valued because they didn't either live geographically near you. I don't know if the idea of universality of that is really real. I think it's more that you're just now more closely connected via the internet to everyone.
Yeah.
So you don't really have a way of having universal connection because the life experience is still very different because you're still gathering a lot of that from the real world.
But we've uploaded our identity so much to the internet, and the internet has condensed life globally into a small town where that is, I think, the case.
And people are bumping into each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But we still are, everyone's offended by everything no matter what.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mary, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram or WeChat at CloserKitty. And like Shane said, I post articles on the TimCast website sometimes. Whoop. And I promote them on Instagram.
She does do that. Guys, you can follow me on Instagram if you so desire, at Brett Dasovic. It's mostly skating on there, but I have my own hot takes and opinions on movies. I actually talk about stuff I like in my stories, because it's like we do this and it feels like a lot of it is like dissecting and complaining.
Things so, Brett likes time.
Yeah. I'm going to have
He's so positive on Instagram. And I'm like the anti-positive on Instagram.
Yeah, like I like it. I try to keep it positive. Yeah. Like I talk about the shows that I like on Instagram. See that? I did stink bug, guys. You have no idea how many of them are.
Pete is going to write in now.
Yes.
They're going to chain themselves.
At Brett Dasovic on Instagram. We are on YouTube every day, as you know, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is 12 p.m. Pacific. So if you're in California, you can listen to us and watch us on your lunch break. That is fantastic. And then we are also on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, Spotify, all of those places where you can listen to the podcast. If you choose not to watch, I definitely have a face for radio. And then for social media, you can find us on Facebook and TikTok at Pop Culture Crisis. We are on Twitter at Pop Culture Crisis at Pop Culture _ show. And then we are also on Instagram, and that is at Pop Culture Crisis Pod. Mary and Dane, Dave, upload stuff there. Keep it interesting.
Me and my social media intern, Dave.
They upload stuff there every day, guys. We will be back with another episode with Hannah Claire tomorrow. We'll see you then, guys. Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.